But we want to stay on the markets for right now and bring in our next guest, Dan Ai from Fort Pitt Capital Group, the CIO there. Thank you so much, Dan, for being with us on this very volatile Friday. Just want to get your sense of what's going on in the markets right now. Are we seeing anything of a tapered tantrum? You know, tech stocks were up on the initial Fed decision, then down, then up, then way down, now less down. And how much of this is also this triple witching phenomenon that happens once every quarter as well, playing on markets today?
Yeah, well, thanks so much for having me. It's nice to be with you. You know, it does look like volatility is back in the near term, at least. And I think, you know, the trading activity that we've seen over the last few days is really, you know, indicative of markets adjusting to the new reality of waning liquidity. And you know, the prospects for tighter policy from the Fed going forward. You know, it looks like we are seeing a little bit of relative strength or outperformance from tech and the small caps, which, you know, were beat up pretty good yesterday. Maybe that's a small, you know, positive sign for us.
Dan, this is Emily here. Going back to your point on tech outperformance today, we're also seeing some moves in the Treasury market, seeing some flattening of the Treasury yield curve. I'm wondering, what do you think the Treasury market is telling us right now as we have that 10-year yield now below 1.4%?
Yeah, I think, you know, looking at long-term or longer-term yields or interest rates, it really is a head-scratcher. I think it is, you know, it's indicative of the market expecting that, you know, the Fed raising interest rates will, you know, slow growth eventually. But, you know, it is really hard to square, you know, a 10-year Treasury yield below 1.4% when we just saw, you know, a headline inflation report at 6.8. I mean, that's a negative 5.5% real yield on a 10-year Treasury. You know, the kind of negative yield I would associate with deflationary, depressionary times or wartime type of periods, not at a period where, you know, we're seeing strong equity markets, you know, surging housing prices and corporate profits.
Dan, what do you make of the Fed's decision, you know, telegraphing 8 hikes into 2024? Is that something they can actually pull off, or, you know, is it too fast a taper, do you think?
I think that's a great question. I would take the under on that assumption. You know, we just talked about where long-term yields are. You know, if we were to see 8 or 9 interest rate hikes, you know, that puts the Fed funds rate at 2.25. Unless we were to see an aggressive move up in long-term rates, that would, you know, invert the yield curve, which has historically been, you know, a pretty good warning sign that the Fed has gone too far, too fast. So I think if we look back over the last, you know, decade, we've seen that the Fed has pretty aggressively overestimated their ability to hike interest rates. So again, I would take the under on that bet.
Dan, taking a look at the notes that you sent over earlier to us, a couple of the stocks that you highlighted, Apollo Global Management, that is the parent company of Yahoo Finance, as well as Broadcom and Lowe's. What is it about these stocks that you like, and what do you think investors should be focused on with these areas?
Yeah. So first on Apollo, you know, we've seen just incredibly strong inflows into the private equity complex in general. We think that trend continues in a low interest rate environment, and that Apollo will be a significant beneficiary there, given their focus on credit and yield replacement strategies for their investors. You know, management has set a pretty ambitious goal of doubling assets under management over the next 5 years, but that's right in line with what they've done over the previous 5 years. The stock's done well recently, but it still trades at a very undemanding valuation of about 13.5 times next year's earnings estimates, which is a big, you know, valuation discount to the market and also to, you know, private equity peer groups. On Broadcom, you know, we really like the diversified exposure of their end markets. So, you know, data centers, wireless, cloud, and industrials. Really strong earnings report last week. I think it shows that the business is just firing on all cylinders with strength across all their segments. We saw a double-digit dividend hike, which we've come to expect from Broadcom, given that they generate almost 50%, you know, free cash flow margin. So, you know, looking at their pipeline, the rebound in enterprise spending, and continued strength in cloud. You know, we're expecting another really strong year from Broadcom next year. And then finally on Lowe's, first thing I would say is that we do expect, you know, tough comps for Lowe's given very strong years in 2020 and 21. But we are impressed with the progress that they're making on their turnaround initiatives. You know, they're becoming a better retailer. They're operating more efficiently. They've really utilized their labor force more efficiently and built out their online infrastructure. So we think that they're closing the operational performance gap with Home Depot. And we think there's more to go there. But with the stock trading at about a 20% valuation discount to Home Depot, you know, we continue to see an opportunity.
And Dan, you know, I want to turn your attention to central banks. A myriad of them have been weighing in now recently, and they seem to be signaling that Omicron isn't that big of a threat. They're more focused on inflation. Do you think that it is a mistake to discount the potential, at least near-term disruption that this new COVID, you know, whether it's Omicron, whether it's Delta, we don't even know, but this surge in cases that we're seeing in the U.S., because it is disrupting businesses, return to work, restaurants are closing, Broadway is affected.
Yeah, obviously the new variant is here and it's spreading quickly. Now, that's not necessarily new information. I think we firmly expected to see that given the data that we're seeing that we've seen out of South Africa. But you know, I think we continue to hear pretty positive news, you know, from South Africa that you know there's much lower severity compared to Delta. We saw some headlines and data points out just this morning that you know hospitalizations are more than you know 90% lower compared to the similar period of their Delta wave. So, and in the U.S., I think there's very little appetite from the American people for you know severe restrictions or lockdowns that we dealt with in the spring of last year. So, I think the real risk centers around you know more supply chain disruptions or pressures in areas like China and other parts of Asia that have adopted much different COVID, you know, policies than the U.S.
Well, and Dan, tying in this threat of the Omicron variant with monetary policy and with what Fed Chair Jerome Powell said about the moves towards maximum employment earlier this week, he mentioned we are making rapid progress towards maximum employment. Do you see the Omicron variant potentially throwing a wrench in this move and this recovery?
No, I don't. I think, you know, we've dealt with a number of waves already. I think we've established a pretty reliable, you know, pattern, if you will, that, you know, when we do see case counts rise, you know, it has affected consumer confidence and maybe some consumer spending. But as we hit the peak and those cases fall, we see those things storm right back. So I think, you know, I think we're learning to deal with COVID, and we know it's going to be a part of the backdrop going forward, whether it's this variant or the next.
All right. So many more questions for you, but we are out of time. We'll have to leave it there. Dan Ai, our market guy at Fort Pitt Capital Group, the CIO there. Thank you so much for your time today, and have a great weekend.